Bill, how you doing today?
I'm doing okay.
Good flight? Everybody good?
Yeah, doing all right.
Good.
Steve, Michael, how you
Coach,
doing?
Coach, Bill.
Yeah? Those things are pretty well.
Always a little bit better when you win. Those flights go a lot quicker, don't they?
They sure do.
Well, let's talk about this one because in the first quarter, Denver's able to run up about 167 yards on the ground. Can you explain to us how it works? During the course of the week, you're working on a bunch of different things that Denver can do during the course of the game. As you have to make those adjustments early on, you revert back to stuff that you dealt with during the course of the week? Because you seem to make a major alteration in this game. Is it stuff that you work that you're working with?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, first of all, obviously you got to give Denver credit. You know, they had an excellent game plan, and they did some things that gave us some problems early in the game. We worked on a lot of things going into the game because they'd shown us a lot of things, and what they actually gave us was it was well designed, and some of the things that we were looking for and keying on, they offset it or did it in a way that we weren't able to identify quick enough. So they did a good job. As the game went on, we were able to get control of the situation. Players did a nice job of understanding what they were trying to do, and they do it a little bit differently each week. So once the players kind of get a little bit of a beat on it, they were able to contain it for the most part. So I think coaching wise, I got to do a better job. We got to do a better job of being a little better prepared there at the beginning part of the game. But I thought our players played hard, and they certainly handled a lot of the same situations later in the game a lot better than we did earlier.
You know, it's probably hard for a scout team to come up with a Tim Tebow type. There's really not a Tim Tebow type. So I know in the past you've done some things to simulate the speed of the game or what a certain player is going to do. What did you do preparing for Tebow outside of film study?
We ran the plays the way that as closely as we could resemble them, not just to him, but also the rest of their players. Each player has their own skill, so nobody is the same as another player. Demaryius Thomas or Decker or McGahee they're all different from our players, and they're different from each other. So, we just try to simulate the plays and use our film study and our practice opportunities to prepare for it, and it's always a little bit different in the game.
Did you spend any time watching? Obviously, Denver runs its offense with its players at the pro level, but did you spend any time watching any Florida offensive formations this week? Because he's doing a lot of the stuff that he was doing in college.
Yeah, no, I did watch some of the Florida stuff, and I don't think it's the same offense. It's just there are some a little bit of carryover with some of the plays, but it's a totally different offense.
What are the biggest things your defense can do to stop that? He was hitting that one play action pass 13, 14 yards. He hit it four or five times. What are the biggest things you can do, not just your defense, but overall to prevent something like that?
Yeah, we got to recognize those plays quicker. And again, a couple times we actually thought defended it fairly well, and one time he held the ball and they scrambled around and and he ended up making a completion on the play, but not at the timing that it hit on earlier. They did a good job on those play actions. They sold the running plays, and you have to stop those. And they are able to make good throws, good routes, and just find some dead space there behind the front. And Tebow did a nice job popping it in there, and Thomas was a big target. So. We just got to recognize them a little quicker and maybe, schematically, from a coaching standpoint, put our players in a little bit better position to defend that.
These guys look like they were sending extra pass rushers, and yet, with the exception of the Doomerville sack there, Brady was virtually untouched. Why were you able to unload the ball so quickly, and that really didn't become a factor during the course of the game?
They have some very good pass rushers on their team, and they mixed in some pressure. But they also at times rushed three and dropped eight. So they mixed it up on us. They did a good job, like Coach Fox always does. They have a lot of different things defensively: blitz zone, blitz man, zone man, three-man rush, four-man rush, five-man rush, six-man rush. So just keep you on your toes. And you know, offensively, our players did a good job of executing the game. We also had some good balance in terms of the running game and threw the ball to a lot of different receivers. Fortunately, we weren't in a lot of long yardage situations. We were in a couple, but, you know, we weren't in third and 10 all day. So that's always a positive.
Could you tell us about the process of throwing the challenge flag? Is it just somebody upstairs saying challenge it, or is it a combination of that happening and you seeing the play unfold on the field? Because if you look at Aaron Hernandez, you got to throw the flag. Hey, I caught this ball, and you didn't challenge it. What was your thought process, start to finish on deciding not to throw the flag on that Hernandez play?
I think there are a lot of things that go into it. First of all, if you lose a challenge, you really lose two challenges, not one, because you have no chance to get the third one. So I think you want to be hopefully sure when you make the first one, to preserve your chance at three, not just two. I think it comes down to a couple things. One is what you see on the replay screen and how clear that is. A lot of times you can see a play with your own eyes and think it's one thing, but then if there's no video replay to sustain that under review, then it doesn't really matter what you saw with your eyes, because you got to be able to have a camera shot of it so that the referee can see it. So sometimes that's a little bit of an issue. I think the magnitude of the play is also part of it too. There's some plays that you might feel like, maybe there's only 20% chance that this could go our way, but it's such a enormous play in the game that, I'll take a chance on that versus taking a chance on a play that's maybe it's a 90%, but there really isn't that much at stake. For example, in the Philadelphia game when we challenged on a kickoff return, that the runner was down by contact when Sergio tackled him, and then he got up and he ran for about another 8 yards. And I saw the play, and it was right in front of me, and I really felt that he was down. I felt that his elbow hit, and his knee didn't hit, but his elbow did, and I thought it was down. And then it was like an extra 8 yards, and I'm thinking, is this really worth it here? We're talking about 8 yards. It's not really a game-changing play, but I just felt sure enough about the result of it that we went ahead and challenged it and won the challenge, but it wasn't a game-changing play. But when you have a game-changing play, a turnover, change of possession, turnover that results in a touchdown, something like that, then maybe you're a little less sure about that because of the magnitude of the play. So
would you?
It's a long answer to a short question, but there are a lot of factors that are involved. One is how sure you are about the replay. Two is how important is the play.
At least offensively, does the confidence when you're talking about the challenge flag, does confidence in your offense being able to score anyway, does that play a part in it at all when you're looking at it? So, it's only second and eight, so we can probably score anyway. Does that matter, or just?
Well, again, I think it depends on how important the play is. Now, again, if you lose a fumble and they scoop it up and run back for a touchdown,
right?
Even if it's less than 50-50, if you think you got any shot at all on that one, maybe you take a look at it. If it's a play that's an extra 2 yards, then is it really worth the challenge? Because it's not like you have an infinite number of challenges. You only have two for sure, and possibly three. So if you're wrong on one, then you could lose that third challenge, which I wouldn't be in any rush to get rid of that. But if the play was big enough, then you challenge it and take your chances on it.
It's interesting because the first two views they gave of it looked like he had his hands cradled underneath the ball. Third one looked like the tip of the ball might have touched the ground. Have you looked at it today? And what did you think if you did?
In the coach's film, it's too far away. I don't think you can see it. I haven't seen a TV copy of it.
But Michael was talking about a player. If a player is emphatic, and in this case Hernandez was, I remember a couple of weeks ago Kevin Falk was emphatic. He was going to you, throw the challenge flag. How much do you take of what the player is saying? Because the player might think he saw one thing. He's right there on the play, and it might not necessarily be accurate.
Right, and that's true. And I don't think that the player necessarily is not being truthful,
right,
not seeing it. But, again, it's no different than if I see a play and I – think I see the ball hit the ground, and I think it's an incomplete pass, and I really in my heart know what I saw, that the ball hit the ground, but there's no replay to show the same look that I have. You know, you don't know where the cameras are. Right. They're not over my shoulder, so what I saw and what a camera sees isn't necessarily the same thing. And that's, you know, I think that's really one of the issues with the replay is, you know, where are the cameras? And, you know, as we've talked before, I've always felt that there should be a camera on the sidelines and on the goal line and on the end line, because those are all, you know, tight plays. And but there isn't any reason why the camera, if they have the right angle, you shouldn't be able to see the play clearly. But if you don't have a camera on the sideline, then you don't really know whether the guy's in or out. And when you challenge the play, you don't really know whether or not there's going to be a view to show whether he's in or out. And so you're back to the, you know, you're back to the mercy of, well, what's the visual evidence?
Yeah, the other thing that happens, and my understanding is that Ernie or whomever up there sees the same picture we're seeing on TV. Is that correct?
Well, they get what they get fed up there is what also goes into the opposing coach's booth, and what those feeds are. It's not always a live TV feed. I mean, it could be the feed that goes up on the replay screen in the stadium, or, you know, what have you. So
that might not necessarily be good if you're the road team based on a crew doing it for the home team. But the reason I ask that is because many times the network will show you a couple different angles, and then 40, 50, 60 seconds later, they've got a whole new angle of it.
Right, they come in with something. Well, and again, right, it depends on how many cameras they have. I mean, you know, if there's 10 cameras at the game, then at some point they can go through that all their options and see what, oh, here's one, and this shows it more clearly than the other nine did, and maybe at first glance that wasn't the one that whoever's doing the choosing thought was the best one, but as you look through them all, maybe this does give us a look at it that the other ones really didn't.
Do you waste time on the play clock at that point? Do you try to wait as long as you possibly can before that next snap? Now, in this case,
I think it goes back to, you know, what was the original call? And so if the call goes against you, in this case an incomplete pass, you know, you've got to have conclusive evidence that it was a catch. And so do you have that conclusive evidence or not? That's the question. Do you have it or don't you? If you do, then you can challenge the play. If you don't, then what are you challenging? Do you have a good look at it? Right. Can you see it? Right. Can you see the play? Right. Can you see that it's clearly a catch? Okay, great. Or are you just hoping it is? And then if you're hoping it is and you throw a flag out there, well, you're not going on any evidence. So what can you see? You know, if the call goes the other way, then, you know, have to have the conclusive evidence. Right. So, you know, what's the original call?
So that's why you can't be a talk radio host. You just don't throw stuff out there. You got to be able to throw stuff out there and see what happens. That's the job. But
I don't think he's doing that when he retires. No, I wouldn't worry about it.
You got here in 2000. You've now won your ninth division title. With nine division titles, three in a row, it's easy to take for granted. What does this division title mean to you, and what do they mean to you collectively?
Well, I mean, that's why we're here, you know, is to win. So anytime you can win, that's a significant accomplishment. It's hard to do in this league. It's hard to do consistently, and it's hard to do in this division. So, you know, we're proud of that. That being said, there are also higher goals, but this is one of them. And I'm very proud of those accomplishments that we've made as a team. I mean, it wasn't me individually. It was collectively our team, and more importantly, the players, because they're the ones that are actually out there making the plays to win. So, but I think it's something that we can all be proud of, and you know, use as a stepping stone to get to higher ground. And we have higher goals than this, but this is one of them, and we've reached that. So, you know, that's good. Something good to feel. Something to feel good about.
Well, the standards here are always very high, and rightfully so. Is there any thought that maybe the young guys don't understand that? Okay, you got a hat and T-shirt, but that's just one small step in the big goal. We asked Vince the same question. Enough of the young guys understand the big goal and thing and big picture.
Well, I hope so. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. It's You know, I don't know how to answer that question really, other than each team is its own team. Each team, you know, will write its own chapter in history, and we'll see what the 2011 team, you know, how that chapter turns out. None of us know the answer to that.
Right.
It's all in front of us, so we'll see what we're able to do.
Did you learn a little bit more about your team in that game yesterday? And they came out of it pretty mentally tough. I mean, the first quarter, nothing was working. They made the adjustments. You've already complimented them earlier. But do you learn something about the individuals when they face a little bit of adversity like this, especially late in the season when you get into that that point of the playoffs?
You know, I'm not sure that we learned anything yesterday that we didn't already know. I think that, you know, the situation was similar to what we saw at Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh was a game that we didn't do much anything right in the first quarter. We were down 10-0, and they had the ball. We hadn't moved it. They had more points than we did. And you know, we hung in there and fought right to the last play and you know, had a chance with, you know, an onside kick, and even after the safety, you know, I mean, there was still a chance. You know, it was certainly the odds were against us at that point, but, you know, we had a chance. It was a one-score game, and we hung in there in a tough environment. So I'm not surprised that our players can hang in there on the road, you know, in a tough environment. Same thing happened in Philly. You know, we went down on them early, and we hung in there and end up, you know, able to win, you know, convincingly. So I think that the toughness of the team has, you know, come through at different points during the season. But I'd say the Pittsburgh game was, you know, that's really the one where I think I saw it, you know, clearly, and I've seen it since then other times. It's happened several times this year.
What's the earliest you could see that you've seen it in your career? I mean, you could see it in, you know, game 3-4 of a season, but do you ever see it second or third week of training camp?
Yeah, well, I thought we saw it down there in Miami. I mean, that was, you know, that was another, you know, game where I thought we had some mental toughness in the game. It was hot night, opening day. Nobody played more than, you know, half of a game in any of the preseason games. Get down there, tough situation, competitive game. Go to no huddle offense, pick up the tempo, you know, test our conditioning against theirs and our ability to concentrate and execute against theirs. And, you know, we were able to make some plays there, and had a couple key drives there in that situation in the third quarter. So, you know, I think you can see it, you know, probably pretty much in every game if you really want to look for it. Doesn't always happen the same way. Sometimes you're more consistent in one area than another as a team. But, you know, I think our mental toughness is, I don't think that's, you know, been a big weakness for us this year. It could always be better, but I don't think it's been a big weakness.
How do you go about replacing Andre Carter in this situation?
Well, you know, we finished the game the way we finished the game. If that's the way we have to play going forward, then that's sure to be some version of that. We have a lot of players. We played a lot of players yesterday. Guys were involved in a lot of different roles. We had, you know, 8 defensive linemen up for the game. They all played. Linebackers played. Defensive backs, multiple defensive backs played. So we'll take our options, take a look at the game plan and our opponent, and see what we feel like are the best matchups and combinations to play in that particular game. Might be the same in succeeding games, or it might not, depending on how the matchups go.
Last time we saw Miami, it was the beginning of the year. I think you guys racked up like 600 yards or something like that on them, but they are a little bit different right now, Bill. They went through that winning streak, then fired their coach, have a new coach in there right now. How different is this Dolphin team?
Well, I think there are a lot of similarities, but of course they've had some personnel changes and they've evolved. But they're a good football team. They have good players in all three phases of the game, both sides of the ball, on offense and defense. They're well coached. They're tough. You know, I thought going up and beating Buffalo yesterday was, you know, a good measure of their mental toughness and you know, really all competitiveness. So, you know, they showed up and played very well yesterday. So I don't think that'll bother them.
They never did check out, though. I mean, when they were in the midst of that losing.
And they lost a lot of close games. They played a lot of very competitive games that, you know, a play or two or, you know, last possession kind of thing. So they've been in a lot of tight games. And, hey, our game with them was a tough game. It really was. So we have a lot of respect for the Dolphins, and I know we'll you know we have a lot to get ready for. They do a lot of different things. I know we've seen them before, but they're a creative team in all three phases, and sure they'll have a game plan for us that'll be very challenging. Hopefully we'll be able to be competitive against it.
I know it's a divisional opponent, so you know them, but they did make a head coaching change and have a different quarterback starting now than they did in week one. How much extra time does that require for you to catch up to the changes that they've made?
Well, I think if we have our normal week of preparation that we'll be able to get all that covered. I mean, we've certainly seen the quarterbacks play for a number of weeks now. It wasn't like the Kansas City situation where you really have to go back to preseason to watch them. And again, their offense is their offense, and they have a lot of key players like Bush and Marshall and, you know, all those guys, Fasano, and those, you know, so they're all the same. So I mean, there's a different quarterback in there, there's a different somebody else in there, then you look at the player's replacement. But I think fundamentally their offense is their offense, but it has quite a bit of breadth to it, as does their defense. They give you a lot of different looks. They have a lot of different blitz packages, man zone, blitz zone. So we'll have, you know, a lot of things that we'll have to be ready for.
You've been in these situations before, playing against a team that really not in the playoff race and has nothing to lose. Any forethought that they might just pull something out of a hat, maybe some new blitzes, some new, or just a different even philosophy if you got nothing to lose in that situation?
Yeah, well, I think you got to be prepared for that really every week. You know, we've faced the onside kicks and the fake punts and the double reverse passes. Saw another one yesterday. I don't know if that's as much a function of the standings as it is just if they perceive you have a weakness against a certain type of play or that you're not going to see it. So, at this point in the season, I think one thing, you know, I would say along those lines, Steve, is, you know, at this point in the season, if you're a team that's worked on something all year, you've worked on a fake punt or you've worked on some kind of special play, mm-hmm. just maybe haven't quite found the right time to run it, with only a couple games left, maybe you're a little, rather than just say, well, we'll wait till we get really the right situation. Well, as the season winds down, sometimes you just say, hey, we worked on this all year, you know, let's take a shot at it here.
Right.
what do you see when a coach is fired, a new guy takes over, he's already on the staff, he's already part of what they're already doing, yet this is now his team. He may want to impress the owner, he may want to impress the rest of the league, maybe it gives him a higher profile situation to get another job out there. Do these guys ever change up what has already been established from, let's say, what Tony Sperano was doing? Do you see that late in the season when you get a change in coach?
I think you could, sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think you could. And again, sometimes those changes, take a little while. You know, the first week in there, you kind of try to, just get things, back on balance and get ready for the game. And then maybe the second week, you make some modifications that you just felt like maybe were a little too much to do the first week. I don't know. Every situation is different. Every person is different. And what came before them is obviously it wasn't good, or there wouldn't have been a change. But whatever the circumstances were in that particular team, if that new person feels like there's certain things that need to be addressed, he'll probably address them. And I don't know what those were because I'm not a part of the team, but I think that's what you see.
You know, we're obviously well into December, and I remember when the lockout ended, there's a lot of speculation on what the rules would mean for teams, tough football teams, Steelers, Patriots, some of the usual suspects, now, what the rules would mean for them. Limited practice time and pads, on and on. So here we are. Has there been a major, noticeable adjustment for you with practices and pads?
I think we've made a modification in it. I mean, so have all the other teams. So
I mean, negatively, positively, or do you even look at it
same.
That way?
I mean, we've had the same opportunities that everybody else has had. No more, no less. So. But it's a little bit different just because of the structure. But nobody has an advantage over us. We don't have an advantage over anybody else. Everybody has the same opportunity. It's just a question of how you choose to use the opportunities that you have. Are they the same as they were at some other situation? Well, it doesn't really matter. They're what they are now. So you try to make the most of what you have to work with at this point in time.
What's the biggest adjustment you've had to make in terms of structuring practices? Are they longer than they were before? Or, you know, how are you choosing to get by in this new environment?
I think there were more changes at the beginning part of the year than there are, you know, in the in season. Although there are some there too, but you know, the way the training camp started, what you're able to do in training camp, where your team was at the end of training camp relative to maybe where it would have been in a different situation. And then that just ripples its way all the way through.
You got the coach's question of the week?
I do have the coach's question of the week. Looking forward to it. Time now for the coach's question of the week, brought to you by Alexis of Watertown. This week's question comes from Joe Centrella of Burlington, New Jersey. Joe asks, we've seen players play defensive back. We've seen linemen line up in the backfield as fullbacks. We've seen linebackers play tight end and catch touchdown passes. Have you ever come across a quarterback, kicker, or punter that could contribute somewhere on the field besides their primary position?
Well, sure. Well, when I was here with the Patriots in 96, Ray Lucas, I think he would be Exhibit A. Jeff Hostetler with the Giants. Jeff Hostetler was drafted as a quarterback, was an outstanding quarterback in college at West Virginia. And was drafted as a quarterback, but he caught a pass, he ran a reverse, he blocked a punt, and he made tackles on special teams before he ever completed a pass in the National Football League.
Yeah.
And it's probably the same thing about Ray Lucas, for that matter. Ray blocked a punt, ran the ball, made tackles, caught a pass as a receiver. You know, so I think the quarterback conversion to another position, absolutely. Ray Lucas, Jeff Hostetler. Those would be two examples right there.
Two different body types. Hostetler was jacked.
Yeah, Hostetler was
a big, strong kid too. But yeah, I remember him on special teams. You're just not used to seeing that, playing against him for 5 years. We graduated the same year, but playing against him, all of a sudden you're lining up and you're realizing you're going to block a quarterback he's covering punts and something. And you're like, okay, I got this. Next thing you know, he's clubbing you with his forearm. He's got bigger arms than you. You know, he's a good tough kid.
Right, we got into a game with, you know, a couple of receivers got banged up and finished the game. And, of course, he knew the routes as a quarterback and knew, you know, what. So they threw him out there, and that's kind of how that got started. So, you know, when you only have 45 players at the game and you know, three of them are quarter, two of them, you know, whatever it is, you got three specialists, a couple quarterbacks, there's five guys right there. And then you got your offensive linemen and your defensive linemen. So there's another, you know, 15 players that they don't really have a lot of flexibility. So now you have all your special teams, you have all your skill players on offense, you have all your skill positions on defense. You just don't have enough players to back each of those up, particularly when you're playing, you know, three receiver sets, five DB sets, and getting the kicking game. So if you have a player that has some flexibility, some versatility that can do that, then, you know, you got to use them because you just – you know, you're not going to put a quarterback out there. I mean, you know, unless it's a guy like that, you're not going to put a center out there to. So that's, you know, that's what those guys. You know, they could be very valuable for you.
Look at you, Joe. Good question for being selected. You win a $100 gift certificate to Sports Authority. The coach's question of the week is presented by Lexus of Watertown, and the December to Remember sales event where Lexus hybrids start at only $309 a month. Submit your question for the coach at weei.com/coach. Weekly winners will receive that $100 gift certificate to Sports Authority. Enter at weei.com/coach for your chance to be like Joe.
Bill, anybody show you the Saturday Night Live spoof they did?
No.
You haven't seen it yet?
You heard about it?
You should ask. Have you heard about it yet?
Got a couple of emails from a friend of mine said they saw it, but I haven't seen it.
You may want to check it out. It was actually pretty funny. Yep. Listen, to you and yours, have a very Merry Christmas. You've got Steve and Fred next Monday.
That's right.
So no adult supervision with our show next next Monday.
Well, thanks a lot. Best wishes to you and, of course, to all our fans and listeners out there. And hope we all have a wonderful holiday and that we can get it started off right on Saturday against Miami.
All right. Have a good game.
Thanks,
all right.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Thanks.